Well, why do we celebrate Easter? It should be pretty obvious right now, right? But let's look at the title of the message. Questions. We all have questions. We're going to talk about coming out of 1 Corinthians, but first of all, there's a thing I want to say. Even back during Jesus' day, people questioned who he was. In fact, he even asked the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" He asked them, who do others say I am? Some thought he was John the Baptist, came back, and others thought he was a prophet, and others thought he was the Messiah, perhaps. But then he asked Peter, I think, "Who do you say that I am?" And he finally came out with the truth. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Now, to make such a claim, I've read all kinds of debaters and commentators and everything else. And one of the questions that they ask is, was Jesus a liar? He had to be one of three things. He had to be a liar and deceive the people, or he had to be insane to think he, a human, be a son of God, or he actually was the Son of God. And that's a question you got to answer today. Who is Jesus to you? Is he a liar? Is he crazy? Is he the Son of God? And depending on how you answer that question is going to determine where you spend eternity. Now, there's another question. Some people even say that there is no such thing as eternity. I'm afraid there is. But people hold on to that belief that when they die, they just go nowhere, and that's it. But I ask you a serious question. If I live my life serving Jesus Christ, and any of you doing the same thing, and then you find out come death that there is no such thing, what have you lost? Not a thing. But if you go through life and you don't serve Jesus Christ, and you find out at the end there is an eternity, heaven or hell, what are you going to do then? It's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. So you got to answer that question, and you got to answer it soon. Today, perhaps. We don't know when Christ is coming. Today, perhaps. And so the people who don't believe Jesus has come in the flesh. Let's look at our first scripture here. First scripture comes from John, 2 John 1:7. "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." That's the question. Did he? Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? If you don't believe so, then you are part of the Antichrist and the Antichrist system. Think of that. You need to answer this question. And so the other question is, well, we celebrate Easter because we believe that Christ has risen again. A lot of people back during the days of Paul argued that he didn't. In fact, every time Paul would go evangelize, they would come behind him and try to stir up trouble and tell people that there was no such thing as Christ. He did not raise. And even if they acknowledged that Christ lived, he didn't raise from the dead. Well, my goodness, he proved it. He raised the widow of Nain's son, her only son. You may not understand this, but when a woman is a widow and she has no family, she has no way to make money, no income, no way to be supported. And so losing her only son meant that she was probably going to beg just to survive. And I'm sure Jesus felt sorry for her. So as they were carrying, imagine this, you're in a funeral procession, you're carrying him on this special kind of bed referred to as a bier. Okay, B-I-E-R, you're carrying this dead body on here, and Jesus stops the procession. And people probably looking around like, who's this guy? And he touched the young man, told him to rise, and he rose up from the dead. And he showed himself, presented himself to his mother. He actually sent his disciples out to do the same. And then at another time, he sent at least over 70, maybe 72, to raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons, all the things that Jesus did. So the thing was, it was to prove who he was. It was to prove the message that Jesus brought to the world, and that he was the Son of God. And that's a question you have to answer today, or very soon, very soon. So we're going to talk about the fact that was Christ raised or not. What did Paul have to say about that? 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to kind of go through this a little quick, so bear with me. So they were arguing with Paul that and the people. They're saying, folks, look. Think, there's no way you can raise a body from the dead. Well, go ask Lazarus. Dead 4 days and rose again. A lot of the Jews believed that and it's not true, but they believed that the spirit hung around for at least 3 days and that you could recover. Maybe. They knew what death was. They could check a pulse. They knew when somebody was dead, when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, and then Peter himself later raised, I think her name was Tabitha maybe, I don't know, but he raised someone. So it wasn't something new. So the question becomes now, they're going around saying, Jesus is teaching you wrong. He's telling you that the apostles were teaching you wrong, that Jesus was not raised. So Paul gives this argument. He says, now if Christ be preached, which is what I'm doing, I'm preaching Christ has been raised. Now if Christ be preached that he has rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? That's a question. It's a question you better answer. And you better be dead sure of your answer, because it's going to matter. It's going to matter. Next verse. He said, but if there be no resurrection. And by the way, the Sadducees, that was another political sect and religious sect of the Jewish nation. They had Pharisees, they had Sadducees, they had scribes, they had lawyers. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. They didn't even believe you had a spirit. That if you died, that was it. Nothing else. You're just gone. But Jesus told them they were in error, not knowing the scriptures. Folks, you have to study the scriptures. So Paul's saying, okay, let's take your argument. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then of course Christ is not risen. That's what he said. Next verse. And if Christ be not risen, notice how he's following along the logic of their argument. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain. And guess what else is vain? Your faith. That's what I was saying a moment ago, that if I live my life believing in Jesus Christ, and my faith turns out, in the end, to be vain, I've lost nothing. I've lost nothing. Maybe I was deceived. But he goes on, verse 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses. Well, why are they found false witnesses? Because they're going around preaching that Christ was raised. And if that's not true, then they're false. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. And I'm doing that here today. I'm testifying of God that he raised up Christ. But you, whom he raised not up, if so that the dead rise not. He's hard to follow, but you got to kind of understand where he's coming from. He's saying, we'd be false witnesses if we preach this, but you say he hasn't risen. Verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. Makes sense. Makes sense. Well, why does that matter, Paul? Verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. It means useless. Your faith is useless. But look at this last sentence. And you are yet in your sins. No hope. Come judgment time, you're still in your sins. If Christ be not raised, you're still in your sins. So I urge you today to think seriously and think hard. Before you get out of this building, I hope you have an answer. This is not something to be taken lightly, folks. And I would be held responsible for your life if I didn't tell you that there is a Christ and that he is alive, that he has risen because he conquered death. Why did he have to do that? So that we could live. If Christ would not be raised, see, that was only the part of it. You got to understand the whole story. And it was told to you in the music and in the performance that we've had here today. The story is that Christ went to the cross for your sins and for mine. We had no way to pay for them. We had no way to be righteous before God. We had no way. And because we were yet sinners, the scripture says Christ died for us. Now, I don't know if you believe that or not. But if it had stopped there, we would still be in our sins. The other part, folks, the most important and crucial part of this story is why we celebrate today. And that's the fact that Christ did raise, glory, hallelujah, and now he has given you the opportunity that if you accept him, not me, not my words, not just a belief system, him, if you accept Jesus Christ, you will have a place in heaven. I don't even want to talk about the other part. It's too horrible to even think about. I know a lot of people don't believe in hell either. Well, you'll find out. You'll find out. We all will. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. You're going to be judged on what you've heard here today. I hope that all of this will have some effect. I want to read one last scripture. Because so many people have questions as to how do you get saved? What does it mean to be saved? Well, let me tell you this. Christ come to save each and every one of us from the sins of this world. From the sins of our body. What is sin? Sin is doing anything that is against God and against God's nature. For example, I've been reading a lot of news, social media, and stuff like that. None of us are unaware of the school shootings, the mass shootings that's been going on. I mean, people doing horrible things to children, child trafficking, all kinds of human trafficking. Lots of evil in this world. Christ come to fix that. And the way it gets fixed is if you change your mind and you say, I'm not part of that anymore. I want to live a life for Christ. He will make you a new creature, Scripture says. You will become a new creature and all things will become new. You'll have a new way of thinking, a new way of behaving, and a new way of talking. You won't be going out here cursing and doing all these kinds of things that we would typically be found doing out in public when nobody's looking. Christ, you would behave in a good way as if Christ was looking. Why? Because He is. Amen. He is looking. He's watching. And He's watching to see how you're going to respond to this message today. And so I urge you, when you think that there's other ways that you can get to heaven, let me give you the scripture that says, the very last one that I want to read today. When Jesus was talking, I think unto His apostles, He saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. He says, no man comes unto the Father but by me. If you think you've got some other avenue to get to the Father, I'm sorry, you're mistaken. It is my responsibility to tell you that Jesus Christ is waiting for you with His arms open wide. Now, you may not count yourself as lost. Lost is when you don't know who Jesus is. You don't know anything about Him. If you want to know who He is, you just simply give your heart to Him. You can do it here. You can do it at home. You can do it in your chair. There's no special way. You say, well, Earl, how do I access this salvation that you're talking about? How do I be saved? You simply repent. What does repent mean? Turn around. If you were stealing, don't steal. If you were angry at people all the time, stop being angry. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance, He says. Fruits are the things that we do in our life that people can see. What kind of person are you when you come out of this church? What kind of person are you? Are you one that encourages people, that helps people, that looks out after others? Scripture tells us to do that. Or are you one that simply is out to get as much as you can get, no matter who you have to walk all over to get? What kind of person are you? That kind of question you got to answer today. We got lots of questions. And I wish I had the time to answer all of them. The main one has to do with your soul. If you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ, or if you want to know Him better, come. I invite you to come. If you have other needs, we know Jesus can do the impossible. Come. I'd like to ask the choir to come. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, for what You did on the cross. But more so, Lord, I'm grateful for what we celebrate today, and that is the risen Lord. Because when You ascended into heaven, the angel said, we will see You come as You have left, which is in the clouds. And God, we look forward to that day, to when all of this will be over. And I pray that everybody here, Lord, will answer that question in their heart today. In Jesus' name, amen.